Hey guys, so today I'm going to talk about a few books that I actually have myself that I enjoy versus what I didn't really enjoy and things like that. So one of the books that I see a lot is The Only Book of Wiccan Spells You'll Ever Need. And the only reason I actually have this book, I didn't purchase it myself. My sister-in-law actually gave me one, and then my neighbor actually gave me the same exact book on accident, but it was like, whatever. So this is an okay book. It's not that bad, but I honestly think that it could have been a little bit more in depth. I think that this is a good book for somebody who just kind of wants to pick something up and just throw some shit together. That's fine. But that's not really what, like, witchcraft is about, in my opinion. In my opinion, witchcraft is a lifestyle, and it's something that you have to, you know, you basically use it in your everyday life without even putting a whole lot of effort into it. Like, for an example, and I say this all the fucking time, but, like, physically sweeping, when you like sweep the negative energies away, you can sweep up the dirt and stuff like that. That's an example. You know, you don't really need to go out and actually buy a book of spells, to be honest. I mean, you can. I guess it's sort of like having recipes, but in the sense of, I personally think that it's a lot more beneficial to have a correspondence chart. And, you know, the reason for that is because you can take a correspondence chart. You can take, like, 5 different correspondences. Like, you know, what type of foods do what. Grains versus alcohol or you know, fruit versus vegetables or, you know, anything like that, then combine it with like color and stuff. So you could literally just take a cake and make it into like a love cake, seriously, just by looking at the fact that cinnamon is for love and, you know, using the color pink for love or something like that, and combine it all together to make a cake for that spell. I honestly think that it's a lot more powerful to use to do that. And the reason why I don't really think it's the same as, like, you know, a recipe can be just as good. I think that it really depends. So when it's something that's really personal to you, I think that that's a lot more of something that you need to kind of create yourself. But I think that when it's something such as, you know, you're trying to heal yourself, you're trying to heal somebody else, I think that it's okay to use a recipe in that case, because sometimes it's like, yo, I want to use this tea, but, you know, I'm not so sure what exactly all combined together is going to be the best result. So, I mean, you know, people do experiment and they do come up with things that create the best results, and, you know, in something in that nature seems to be more fitting for being okay to use somebody else's, but you can always, you know, alter it to fit yourself better. But as far as something like protecting your home or love spells and stuff like that, I think that those are so personal that you don't really need to go find an actual spell for it, you know, or like trying to talk to your spirit guides. You don't need a spell to talk to your spirit guides. You just talk to them. If you just sit down and have a meditation, you know, walk through, or meditate, walk through, you know, a meditative process and just think about it and allow them to come to you, or allow them to come to you through your dreams or anything like that, you know, it's not necessary to have a spell for your spirit guides or a spell for, you know, your deities or anything like that. In my opinion, but there may be some there may be some deities, depending on which path that you're on, you may be more entitled towards, you know, I guess, offerings and stuff like that. But, you know, personally, just in my personal experience with the deities that I work with, the ones that I work with are a lot more on my friend level. They don't want to really be given gifts after gifts, 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 gifts. They want to work with me and me work with them. And if I decide to give them a gift, it's a lot more special and personal if I give it to them in that way instead of always giving offerings and stuff like that. The ones that I work with just don't really, you know, come to me in that type of way. Like, hey, you know, you got to give me a sacrifice for something. Or I haven't had, like, better or worse results because of doing that. That's just the way that they work with me, and they enjoy that I have a friendship with them, and I enjoy it too. So yeah, the reason this book can be good versus something else is because I'm trying to find the good in it for a minute. Well, I mean, it is pretty basic. So as far as basic knowledge goes, it's all right. It's something that I would use in the very beginning on, like, you know, if I didn't have somebody teaching me, or if I didn't have, you know, something a little bit more, I don't know, just a little bit more in depth, and I wanted to have a little more, you know, this book is only, let's see. It's 275 pages, and I know that, you know, seems a decent bit to some people. Oh, actually, there's a little over, so, like, 287. There's 287 pages to this book, and the thing is, like, it's okay for shallow stuff, and that's not bad. Shallow doesn't always mean bad. I think it's more so, like, if you want to look into it without entirely knowing everything yet, and you just want to kind of get yourself started, I think that it's okay to use this type of book. That's totally fine. But as far as somebody who actually wants to grow in their craft, I don't think that it's necessary to use this type of book. I think it's a lot more, well, I mean, you know, it does include different things, such as, you know, a few correspondence charts, but I don't think that they're enough, in my opinion, to really go off of. I think that you need a lot, like, in further in your practice, the farther you go, you need more information than only correspondences and only, you know, only correspondences and only, like, a couple things, such as building an altar or, you know, that type of stuff. Overall, it's not that bad. It's just, I don't really feel the need for this book unless you're a complete beginner. Okay, so this is actually one of my favorite books at the moment. I absolutely love this book, and it's Enchantment of the Fairy Realm by Ted Andrews. And the reason I love this book so much is because that it actually incorporates a few things of, like, not only does it tell you about different elementals or different nature spirits and stuff like that, it actually goes into things such as the types of music that they're more drawn to. So, like, undines or, you know, whatever, they're more drawn towards vocals and stuff like that. And then, like, gnomes are more drawn to, you know, like, percussion instruments. So, like, you know, clapping or or drums or something like that. And I think that it's really great that there's those type of things. By the way, undines are water elementals and gnomes are earth elementals, sylphs are air, and salamanders are fire elementals. And I think that it's also really cool that it goes into the creatures that are around different trees and stuff like that, and not only entirely like the flower's properties or the tree's properties, but also like the what that nature spirit can help you with that's attached to that specific tree or that specific flower. And some other things. Let's see. Just kind of looking at it. It also talks about different time periods and different places that are more likely to have fairy activity and stuff like that. And, you know, like what has thinner veils and stuff like that. I genuinely absolutely enjoyed this book. Like, it was a very good read. It also had a few, you know, fairy tale qualities to it. Instead of only entirely like a informational book, it did include some fairy tales, a little story here and there along the way, and then like some meditations in there that you can follow along with, and you could like, you know, record yourself and then play it back and listen to it, or you could just kind of read it and fall into, you know, the process of your mind just letting yourself read without, you know, actually thinking, if you understand what I'm talking about. I do that all the time. All right, so the next book that I want to talk about is Wicca: The Complete Craft by DJ Conway. And, again, I believe that there's so many beginner Wicca books that it's absolutely fucking ridiculous. I'm kind of tired of seeing a lot of Wicca books, to be honest. I honestly think that a few, I don't know. Personally, this book is good for, you know, a little more shallow, like I was saying with the other book. Now, it definitely does have some good points, but I think that it's a little too vague on some things. It does go in depth on some stuff, but in a lot of things, it's very, very, like, it's, like, the chapters are only, like, let's see. Like, a 7-page chapter, you know, honestly, that doesn't really, like, a 7-page chapter on one specific topic. So, like, meditation and visualizations only has, like, 7 pages on it. You know, I really don't feel the need for these types of books, but I do agree that it's nice, in the beginning. I don't personally think that it's helpful for anybody who has already been, introduced. I think that this may be alright for introduction, but I think most of the people who should be introduced need to read more things such as Wicca, Year in a Day, or Scott Cunningham books. Now, I do have to say about Scott Cunningham, now, I really do love him. I really do love his books. And for his day, he was actually really amazing. As opposed to nowadays, he would not have been as good of a seller, personally. I think that there's a couple of his books that could have been better. I don't have it anymore, but I used to have the 3-in-1 book. I can't remember all of the stuff, but it was like one of them was like Living Wicca and then some other stuff all combined into one book. And that was honestly the first book that I read. So when that was the first book that I read as far as getting into witchcraft, Wicca, whatever, all of that, a lot of books paled in comparison for it. You know, because when you read one of the greatest, you know, it's really hard to step down and look at somebody else's work that's practically having to copy all of the other greatest and just put it into new words. Which can be okay, but I honestly don't think that there's always a necessity in taking older things and basically just copying them into a new book, you know, unless it's just a revised version of that book. But if you're a separate author and you're not, you know, using that, you know, it's honestly not necessary. But now let's see, I do have some free books on a PDF site that I actually really enjoy. Let's see here. I'm gonna look on my Google Docs. Let's see. So I honestly think that a few more books that you should look at when you're going into witchcraft is not only Wicca books. If you're a little scared of, if you're, you know, Christian and then scared of going into anything else, don't be, because I personally know, I really do. I was raised Christian, very strict, and my parents pretty much like damned me to hell basically because of being Wiccan at the time. I'm not Wiccan anymore, but you know, Wiccan is just a little more widespread at the moment, very common at the moment, and a lot of people are misunderstanding what Wicca is about and misunderstanding that versus, you know, just being a pagan in general or versus just being a witch in general. But I think that the best thing for your path is to look at more than just witchcraft books. I think that you should look at more, you know, about chakras, about, you know, well, for the Fae, for an example, like the Fae, or different mythology books. Mythology books are good, astrology books are fine, but, you know, you might want to look into a little bit more of, like, you know, herbal medicine or alchemy books, and, you know, don't only stick to occult books. You need to, I feel like a lot of people are going to be upset that I said occult, but, whoops. So don't only stick to those type of books. Look into, there's actually this book that I'm looking at right now. It's Wheels of Life, and it's by, I'm sorry if I say this wrong, it's Anita Judith. I honestly think that it's a really good book for chakras and stuff. It's a little too in-depth for somebody who doesn't really know very much about chakras, but it does do the basics. I say what you should do if you don't really know the basics yet is just kind of skim through the introduction of it and see how you feel about that, and then just kind of come back to it whenever you feel more ready to. Excuse me. But I was able to find that book on PDF Drive. And PDF Drive pretty much has a lot of free books, and it has actually saved my damn life with, with witchcraft books, because, or, you know, for my spiritual path in general, it has helped me so much, because, my library near me actually carries those type of books, but you have to pay, which is really weird to me that you have to pay for that library, because I've never been to a library that you had to pay before, but, you know. Okay, another fucking book that, like, I was just looking at just because I was, And I think it's absolutely fucking ridiculous, but, you know, to each their own, is the Angel Feather Oracle Certification Workbook. Okay, something that I think is kind of ridiculous about this is there's actually parts in there that say that if you're reading the angel, or if you're doing an oracle reading for somebody and you're certified as an angel feather oracle reader, that you're not supposed to go off of not using the cards. Like, you absolutely have to use the cards. And that's ridiculous to me, because as far as I'm concerned, all of the answers come from you. They don't come from the cards. And the cards are just a tool to use. Like, you're the medium, you know? Like, that's... It's just, there's so many things so ridiculous. Actually, another thing that's ridiculous about it... Sorry, I was just checking. Something else that's ridiculous about the fucking... certification workbook is to be certified an oracle reader. To be a certified oracle reader, you have to pay $300 to take the course, and just to have a piece of paper saying that you're certified in reading oracle cards. Now, that's, you know, to each their own, but that's stupid to me. I do not think that that's necessary. I honestly, I've been to a psychic before that didn't have anything like that. No type of certifications. They were amazing too. Now the energies around them were super heavy, but other than that, they got me spot on. Like, when I mean spot on, I mean that I was thinking that I was probably pregnant, and all of a sudden we go in there and she was just like, I feel like somebody in this room, because I went with my sister-in-law, so she was right next to me. And by the way, my sister-in-law cannot have kids. And she was just like, you're gonna be having a kid at this time. Or saying somebody in this room is gonna be having a kid at this time. And I was like, whoa, okay, I hope I'm not pregnant right now, because I was not supposed to be. I just had my daughter like 7 months prior, and I was like, what the fuck, I really don't want to have a second kid right now, this is ridiculous, I'm not pregnant, it's no big deal. And then I went home and I was like, shit, I think I need to go get a test. But I was, like, talking to my sister-in-law, and I was like, hey, we should, like, look at my tarot cards and, like, ask them and see. And my tarot cards every single time kept popping up that I was pregnant. And I was like, well, looks like I'm gonna go get myself a test. And, so I went and I took it. I took 4 or 5 tests, and they all came up positive. And I was like, yep, all right. And now I have my little girl, Audrey. So, fun story, fun little side story. But yeah, I think it's kind of bullshit to be having to pay $300 to be certified to read oracle cards. When you can be a psychic online, or you can be a psychic in, you know, you can be hired as a psychic without the certification. It's not necessary, but I do understand that some places do want you to do some kind of something like that, but it's not that you have to go that far. Like, $300 is too much for that. Let's see. So... Oh, okay, so all of the encyclopedia things that Cunningham has, super beneficial. So, like, for the herbal one, or what was this one? This is Crystals and Gem Magic, Crystal, Gem, and Metal Magic by Cunningham. that's super beneficial. It goes into those, like, it goes into each and every one, and then it also goes into the colors of each crystal and stuff like that, and then it also goes into, like, the days, the planets, the, you know, whether it's for love or health or for whatever, it does go pretty good into that, and it helps you have a foundation for your own spells and stuff, as opposed to having a recipe for spells. And that's so great. That's why I really love having Scott Cunningham stuff, as opposed to just the, like, you know, philosophy and stuff like that. It's great to have those. Encyclopedia of Magical Herbs, that's the other one. So I like that one as well, because it's basically the same way as the metal magic one. It goes into all those things. Let's see. So Jan Fry's Visual Magic. This was one that I just kind of stumbled upon, and I wasn't really sure what the hell I was looking for. I was just kind of looking for something that I was, you know, wanting when I was writing my book. I was wanting to look into different things about colors and stuff like that. Now, I didn't really take anything from her book necessarily. I just kind of was like, oh, okay, this is interesting, this is cool, but that's not what I was intending on using. It wasn't really the same thing that I was needing to use, but I did put in the concept of visual magic as an idea, but I already knew about visual magic beforehand. So it actually goes into a little bit of, like, shamanic type of, or shamanic doesn't sound right, shamanistic, there we go. It actually goes into a bit of shamanistic style of witchcraft as opposed to Wicca, which is so fucking refreshing to me, because I'm so tired of only seeing Wicca stuff. And it actually goes into sigils, how to make them, what they're used for, and stuff like that, and the history behind sigils and stuff like that. It's a really good read. It's a lot more of one of those things that you kind of need to just use as a basis, and you're not gonna really, like, you know, it's just kind of like a philosophy of it and stuff. So I think that a natural remedy book is great. If I can find, because I don't remember the exact name of it. All right, the Encyclopedia of Natural Medicine, and this was the revised third edition. And it's by, Michael T. Murray, ND, and Joseph Pizzorno, ND. And I believe that this is an absolutely fucking amazing book. This is 1,000 pages. It's over 1,000 pages. And it is something that you can use for a whole, like, super in-depth medicine. Like, I believe it's, like, college-level medicine, stuff like that. And, you know, it takes the science of how conventional medicine works with this particular herbal medicine, like, botanical versus, you know, versus vitamins versus blah, 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 and, like, different things about the illness itself and all types of stuff. Like, it goes super in depth about it, and, like, what's the difference between, you know, the botanical versus the conventional medicine, and when the conventional medicine would be better than the botanical medicine or supplemental medicine would be. It's an amazing book. It's really hard to read sometimes, though, just because that it's super, okay, it's not something that you're going to read all the way through, because it's so boring. But it is a good base. It's very good. And it's not one of those where you're just going to be like, oh, well, this, you know, essential oil can do this. No, this is seriously like, hey, you need What was one of those? I can't even remember it at the moment. There was some type of, you know, like, I don't know, like ginkgo. They're like, okay, so ginkgo helps with blah, blah, you know, with memory, you know, and it's like, it's definitely not, you know, super basic knowledge or anything. It's definitely in-depth knowledge that you need to do research on yourself or on for yourself to see those specific plants, as well as, you know, reading the book. And it's a lot more like, if you're going to be reading the book, you're going to be needing it for like actually healing yourself, like straight up healing yourself, like be your own nurse, you know what I mean? But I mean, I also do believe that it's definitely in your best it's best to go to a doctor in cases where you would look at the natural medicine, but it's also nice to look at a book that actually explains the natural medicine versus conventional. I think it's amazing. So let's see. Oh my gosh, this is actually really good. The science, the secret science of numerology. And it's the hidden meaning of numbers and letters by Shirley Blackwell Lawrence, MSc D, whatever, I don't know. Introduces the inner guidance numbers. So I honestly think that that's a very good book. I think that the person who wrote it is very intelligent and very, very knowledgeable, knows exactly what the hell they're doing when they're writing this book. They talk about, you know, different wave frequencies and how they tie into numerology and stuff like that. I think it's an amazing book, and, you know, all these books that I'm saying right now, by the way, are free, if I hadn't said that before. Let's see, what else do I have? I'm not entirely a into Raymond Buckland. I mean, he's a great author and everything, but I am pretty okay with one of his books, and it's Color Magic. He actually talks a lot in there about some things that not a lot of people talk about all the time, and totally inspirational. It's very, very good about combining different things such as chakras and stuff into witchcraft. A lot of people kind of see it go hand in hand, but then again, a lot of people say that's not even near witchcraft. But I honestly think that witchcraft is straight up just taking science and taking the world around you and being able to better yourself with it. Although there are people who don't. Let's see. The Witch is Familiar. It's The Witch is Familiar, Spiritual Partnerships for Successful Magic by Raven Grimassi. I think that this is a good book. Shit. I got off of my thing for a minute. So I think that this is an amazing book, and it actually goes into different familiars and stuff like that. And oh my god, I see this shit all the fucking time about familiars being like people not knowing what the hell they're talking about, and it's really fucking ridiculous. By the way, from my understanding, there's the lore side of it. But I really think that this is, I think the lore saying that the familiars about demons are familiars being demons and stuff like that, I don't really necessarily believe that that's true. This is just my personal opinion. I honestly think of it as familiar spirit. So familiar spirit, if you look at like what that means, is a spirit that you have a super deep connection with. So you might have like your best friend in the whole fucking world, you know, that would be like a familiar, because it's a familiar spirit. You know, you lean on them and they lean on you. They, you know, you guys help each other out and it's amazing. You know, it's great. I believe that that's what a familiar is. I don't think that it's anything to do with the English, or I think it was England or British lore, along the lines of it being a demon or whatever, something, some kind of bullshit like that, because it also talks about, you know, making friends with the spirits and stuff like that, which I know that you can make friends with demons and stuff, but it just, it doesn't really, I believe it's another thing that's kind of like the witch trials or witches flying on brooms and stuff like that, where it's not actually that, you know, where it's like just kind of the lore of it, but it's not really, and people just kind of came up with it just to be bitches about it, you know. So, Old World Witchcraft, Ancient Ways for Modern Days by Raven Grimassi. It's also a really great book. I was in a little book club that was reading about this, and it's really good, but for some reason I can't entirely remember everything that they were talking about, but I think that they were going along the lines of animism in there and stuff like that, and, I just remember that it was a good book. But, okay, so, you know, I actually might reread that later. But if you don't know what animism is when you take everything that is on this earth and give it a soul. So, like, a rock has a soul, you know, elementals are examples of animism. So, you know, gnomes live within crystals and rocks and trees and stuff like that. And then, you know, sylphs would be in your lungs, because that's what you breathe, air. And undines would be water. So water being your blood, or water being, you know, ponds or lakes or, you know, anything like that. And then salamanders being the flame on a fire, or the flame, or just probably just raw energy too. I believe that it can be just raw energy. And your soul. What was the other one? I think I did all of them. My bad. Sometimes I'm like, wait, there's only four. Okay. I'm not sure if I have any more. So, one thing that I was having trouble looking for was food, and the properties of food. The only one that I've been able to come across, and it might just be because I'm looking online, but the only one that I've been able to come across is Wicca in the Kitchen by Scott Cunningham. And what's good about this and what's bad about this is the fact that it does do the same thing as his others, where it doesn't, it in a like encyclopedia format, but the problem is that it doesn't actually use all of the foods that I believe should be covered. I think that it could be a lot better, but maybe he just kind of was covering what, you know, lore he knew, you know, that could be possibly why. So what I did find was different. You know, I haven't looked at an alchemy book yet, but I have looked at different alchemy sites that had magical food properties and stuff like that. And let me see where this site is. So alchemylab.com, and then the guide to. So it has stuff like, you know, like artichokes or avocados and stuff. And then it also talks about multiple different, not just, you know, a couple things, but like multiple different like cultural beliefs on those. So let me go ahead and read one for you so you can understand what I mean by that. So beans were brought to contain the souls of the dead in ancient Egypt and Greece, and it was taboo to eat them and crush the plants. According to legend, Pythagoras met his death when he refused to escape his assassins by cutting through a bean field. Because they contain the wisdom of ancestors, beans promote correct decisions, decision making, and are used in the divination of future events. In modern times, however, beans have become a staple of the human diet. Soybeans are considered the most perfect of all beans and are sacred in Japan. Soy milk is made by soaking whole soybeans in water. Miso is a fermented soybean paste used to make sauces and broths. Tofu is a protein-rich coagulation of soybean extract. Lentils are disc-shaped beans from India. Adduki beans are from Japan and are one of the most digestible varieties, as are the tiny but flavor-rich mung beans. Kidney, navy, black, and pinto beans are staples of the typical Western diet. Peas are a type of sweet pea bean that bring... Sorry, guys. I suck at reading stuff. Bring luck in love and finances. According to folklore, shelling peas by hand will bring profits to your business. And if an unarmed woman finds a pod containing exactly 9 peas and hangs it over her door, the next eligible man to walk in there will become her husband. And it also says that it's property of the element of air. So that's an example of, like, it'll go into that, it'll go into beef, you know, alcohol, the different grains, sacred grains, stuff like that. Not a book, but it's a great resource, and it's good to have along with having an actual book. But, you know, I believe that the biggest source for knowledge is books. And I think that a lot more of us need to be writing more books and need to be putting ourselves out there more. I've written my own, and I honestly think that a lot of us need to put ourselves into finding things that not everybody knows about yet. And creating a whole book about that can be a lot better than people searching online all the time and stuff like that. And honestly, it helps bring you closer to your craft, in my opinion. So, you know, for me, like, I've been a witch for about 8 years, but I'm still learning every single day. I'm still putting myself into just about everything that I do with it. I still, like, look into everything. I research just as much as possible. And I research even more when it comes to, you know, making these podcasts that I have for you guys, or, you know, if I did YouTube videos, which I only have, like, me painting and stuff, or my blog posts, my book, my blog post, my podcast, all of the things that I do that, you know, even if I'm not doing my witchcraft every single day, I'm still talking about it, I'm still researching, I'm still learning and sharing with others. That's my biggest thing, is being able to share with others what I find, you know. And I think that that's very important. I honestly wish that there were a lot more books out there by people who weren't only doing stuff that they just kind of were easily able to put together just to get some money out of it. You know, I honestly wish that there were a lot more people who would go and take all of their knowledge that they've researched over the years and just put into a book, you know. And I honestly think that if we did that, honestly, I say honestly so many damn times, I think that the more people who do that, the more we will expand. you know, I think it's okay to have beginner type books, but I think we have too many right now. There's already been enough that have been pushed out. Now, if you have a beginner on a new philosophy, a new, you know, way of life that you've come up with, and just like a totally different path to take, that's fine for having a beginner. But when you've got like 50 books that are on one path and they all say the same exact thing, that's just a little redundant, you know? Like you need to stop creating those type of books and start, you know, putting yourself into it more and trusting that you have more knowledge than you think you do. You know, and I honestly think that you can sell, if you don't focus on how many people are going to buy your book, and you focus purely on the fact that it's just something that needs to be there, and it's just something that knowledge needs to be seen, then you're going to sell, but you're not gonna sell a lot. I mean, you know, believe me, but you're going to sell them to some people, and those people who read them will enjoy them, and they'll be like, wow, this is a one in a million, and it's basically like creating art. You have to put yourself into it, and if you don't put yourself into it and you just kind of do it for money, it's not going to come out great. You will have money for it, but it's not going to come out great. Alright guys, if you have any questions or anything that you'd like to talk to me about, you can email me at sierrapanda98@gmail.com, or you can go to my Facebook and message me there, and it's Sierra Joy Williams, and I'm also on different witchcraft aminos if you want to talk to me on amino. I'm Amethyst Thistle. I'm not going to list all the ones that I'm on there because, like, I'm on a ridiculous amount of ones. But, you know, if you ever want to, like, come to me on there, then, you know, that's totally fine, too. So, all right, guys. Bye.